Good morning, welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on, he's done it again, on Thursday the 11th of May. How have I got that wrong? It's a birthday in the family today, and right, let's crack on, dearie me. Morning, how are we all? Right, welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Thursday the 11th of September, I was going to say. What is the matter with me? Of May. Hope you're all well. Hope you enjoyed your coronation weekend. All a bit much for me, to be honest. 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it was to put a crown on someone's head. But I'm sure plenty of you loved it. And fair play to you. Let's live and let live. If people enjoyed it, let them get on with it. There, I have to say, no matter what you think, I think arresting people because you think they might commit a crime is a very slippery slope to go down. I'm fully into... protesting and disruption is something that I don't agree with, but I think everybody should have the right to protest peacefully, certainly standing at the side of the road and holding a banner if they want to, and if they want to shout out a few things, fair play, as long as they're not disrupting other people's lives. But to start arresting them because you think they might is a very, very slippery slope for this country to go down. There we go, and I know others, some of you have been in touch about that, and some agree with it, some don't. And again, you know, I'll talk about something we've got. I'm moving into, going to set up a new YouTube, just to talk about stuff like that. But I'll get to that in a minute. So yes, I didn't really watch it. It was Saturday anyway. There was football on. I did record the concert Saturday night. Sunday night was it, whatever it was, so I could watch some of that, and I thought I'll record it. I can just fizz through the bits that I don't like, that are crap. I watched it all in about 3 minutes. I liked the Gareth Malone bit with the choirs. Rest of it, I mean, Lionel Richie, holy schmoly, dearie me. I just started laughing when he came on, doing whatever it was he was singing. I can't even remember. All night long when it flipping, dearie me. I wanted to listen to Lionel. I mean, I don't know whether I've told this story on the pod. When I first met Sam, was 1992. One of our very first, she spotted me in a nightclub, fell in love, came across the floor, started talking to me. That's the effect I had on women at the time. I've still got it now, to be fair. And then you go out a couple of times, don't you? I'd bought a new stereo, Sony stereo. I don't know whether you remember these. It had the 5 CD changer thing. For me, this was like my biggest purchase I'd ever made. And I had this 5 Sony CD player, 5 CDs. And when I bought it, I bought Lionel Richie Back to Front, which was like a compilation CD of his. I quite liked some of his songs. There was this particular night, a couple of months into me and Sam getting together, that I was going to cook dinner, and Sam was going to come over. I had a little one-bedroom house. Sam was going to come over, and we had made all these plans. You think, here you go. And then I got called to a work meeting. So I literally bought everything, but it was really late, and there was an emergency at work, and I had to go to this work meeting. And... I didn't have time, which was before mobile phones, so I couldn't get hold of Sam. So she was on her way to me. She lived like 6-7 miles away. She drove. She was on her way to me. So she knocks on my door, and I just had this stereo delivered that day. So I've been setting that up. So I got that on my sideboard. Sam knocked on the door. My great plans were a bit of Lionel, nice meal. Fill your boots, off we go. There was none of that. Sorry, I've got to go out. And I don't know what made me say it. I asked her to babysit my stereo. I basically said, look, I've got a new stereo there, a bit of Lionel Richie. Can you sit and watch that and that, and I'll be back. if she listens to this, she'll be cracking up. And off I went to this work thing. And I thought it'd only be like an hour, hour and a half. It went on all night. I didn't get out of there till like 10:30, 11:00. And by the time I got back home, Sam had obviously gone, had enough of that, sat in my house on her own, just looking at my stereo. And she'd just left me a note saying, she'd left a note propped up against the stereo saying, thanks, it's been great. And I thought, well, that's that done. I thought, that's that finished. But no, we did stay together, obviously. But she But one of our songs is My Destiny, Lionel Richie, because that was sort of out at the time and I used to play it a lot in the house. And there you go. So we thought we'd listen to a bit of Lionel on Sunday. Fuck me, wasn't he? Give it up, man. I know you've had your things, but he's had some throat surgery. So just give it up, man. Just give it up. But there we go. So I managed to watch that in about 3 minutes. Right, where are we going? Football. Liverpool going to catch United for fourth, aren't they? Huh? United lost to Brighton, lost to West Ham. Spurs stuff Palace all over them. City going to do the treble. 1-1, wasn't it? They'll win that in. They'll beat them at the Etihad. Yeah, Inter Milan. I didn't see the game. I meant to watch it last night, but I just was busy. I forgot all about that it was on. I'd said that was the one that interested me for the atmosphere, but then I saw Milan were 2-0 up, or Inter were 2-0 up, rather. I saw the Dzeko goal on Twitter, cracking strike. That was, didn't see that. Oh, yeah, I did see the second one, Mkhitaryan running through. I watched that on Twitter as well. So City Inter final, it looks like. So City win that, City win the league. I still don't think the league's over. I think City have still got some tough matches compared to Arsenal, but we'll see. Brighton Everton, what happened there? What happened at Brighton there? Everybody at Brighton's brilliant, fantastic. Everton, well, it looks like they're going to get themselves out of it. And here's one for you, Darren, in Scotland. Pop quiz, obviously we're coming to the end. Pop quiz. As the season winds down across the football leagues in across the UK, 134 teams, 133 of them have conceded a penalty. Only one hasn't. Darren, you'll know the answer straight away. Only one team hasn't conceded a penalty. 134 teams, England, Scotland in the leagues. Only one hasn't conceded a penalty. Perhaps we should all watch that team and watch how they defend cleanly week in, week out. So the season is winding down. Championship and League One and the EFL finished this week. Company signed a new 5-year deal at Burnley. I don't know whether that's to get money out. I can't see him staying at Burnley for 5 years. But obviously season is winding down. So I'm going to do a little bit on variants in a minute, but just wanted to explain a few bits we have on, where we're going, what my plan is, because I know it's all been a little bit quiet my end whilst Sam's had her operations and things going on family-wise. So this is really where my focus is going to be with you guys over the next 12 months. Rather than me just doing rambling pods like this one, we're putting a structure in place to get a library of something I've talked about for a long time, getting a library of pods. We see it all the time in the Telegram group. Where can I find that pod? Where can I find that pod? So obviously in the existing pods, I've covered loads of topics over whatever it's been now, 3-4 years, loads of topics, but to find them and get them in some sort of order, I appreciate, isn't the easiest. So I'm going through with the guys and your input in this, you know, people listening can help with this. Basically getting a list of topics to cover. I'm trying to do it so that I don't keep saying the same things, but also I'm doing it from a level that I'm at now, 15, 16, 17 years on next year. And people who are beginning. Whilst I can go back to what I did, obviously things have changed and people are different. So I've sort of said to people, if you were starting now, what would you want to learn about? Tell me the stuff, list it for me. So if people want to send stuff in, that's it. So from those lists, then I go, right, we need to do a pod on that, a pod on that, a pod on that. So we're building basically a list of topics of where to start as a beginner. So we'll do stuff like staking, analysing data, quite a substantial list. And then each pod will be a pod just on that one topic with a written blog on that one topic. So basically the audio of the pod written out so that people can read it, and obviously if I need to add graphs or anything in, then we can do that visually, and where appropriate, a matching YouTube video. So you've got three mediums that you can use to learn this. Each one's clearly titled, each one's clearly laid out, and when we've got all the topics, we'll put them in some sort of order that will make some sense. So that process is something that we're putting in place now. I've got a meeting later today about it as well, just to get that and get it timed out so that right we say right that week we're going to do whatever those two then those two and we'll map it out, and I might even produce that map for people so they know what's coming up, but that's really where we're going, just so it's got a bit more order to it. I know people love the pods of me ranting, they will still appear, and I'm going to do a separate YouTube series on with an FTS member who's a dear friend of mine, and one of the reasons I'm doing it because I want to highlight that people can have fundamental disagreements and still be mates. I've got a dear friend of mine, FTS, somebody I really, really, really like. He's one of my favourite people, and I'm going to do a series of YouTubes with him because he's a bit of a conspiracy theorist, in my opinion, and we've got vastly different political views, vastly different views on pretty much everything, but he's got the right to have those views. I've got the right to have mine, and we're gonna sit and do some YouTubes talking about them, which will be a lot of fun because he likes to lose this shit as well. So, but it, just to show you that you know you can get on with people who have vastly different views, and I think we're drifting more into this binary world where that's not happening. So, I'm going to set those up through the summer, and they'll just be great fun. I just love talking to him anyway. I love listening to what he's got to say, whether I agree with it or not. So, so they'll be fun. So I'll let you know about those. That'll just be a slight. We're going to just separate it away from FTS. It'll be a slightly different series. Again, just so if people want to see that, then they can. It may be that they only get me and him viewing it, but I think they'll be great fun. And then when the season ends, so moving into next month, I'm going to make some more explanatory videos for the products on FTS. So we've had things highlighted out where we can do better, definitely, in how to use the stuff that we've got on site. As I said, we're not going to be... Last couple of years, we've overhauled the site, taken FDD, Football Data Direct, in fact, sort of taken it in-house, become FTS Data. We've built a new website. Obviously, we've had COVID, World Cup. So in amongst all that, that's been going on. All that is done now. There's not going to be mass changes to the website in this summer, which we've had the last 2 years. There's not going to be mass changes to files and how they're laid out and introducing goals files like we did with Ultimate. So in the summer, I'm going to spend that time making explanatory videos on the FTS stuff we've got. So how best to use them, best practices. So no matter what you are, beginner, FTS data, standard, whatever, there'll be some more videos going up to help you with that stuff on the use of them, and explaining bits better that we need to explain better. Live trading sessions, I started those, did another one Saturday, I'll do another one this weekend, and they will continue, get those up to about 30, and they'll hopefully cover a wide array of different ways to trade. I'll get back to that in a bit. Hopefully they're helpful for people at the time. I think it's better than just me recording a video of a winning trade and going, there you go. I think that actually sitting live while the games are on, and if stuff comes up, we can have a look at it. FTS Ultimate, the season is drawing to an end. We've got a few more weeks. I was going to do a live session this coming week on the Poisson sheet for Ultimate, as people have asked me, but given that the season stops, I just don't think it's the right timing to do that. We literally would do it and then the football season's going to end. So as part of this mapping out for FTS Ultimate members, you know, obviously people will leave it, but if anybody new comes in, from mid-June onwards, I'm going to do 4 or 5 sessions on Ultimate fully. So literally going through all the files, from the main files, the yellow files, the Poisson files, the gold files, on YouTube, live, that you can attend and ask questions, go through all the sheets, again, best practices, and get people set up into the 23-24 season. If any FTS Ultimate members have any areas they want covered in those sessions, please drop a line, an email into support@ftsincome.co.uk. Kerry will collect those emails, collate them, and build a list for me that I can cover through the summer, and then people will be good to go come end of July, August. So that's what's happening Ultimate wise. I'll get the dates out for those probably sometime before the season ends. I'll email everybody on Ultimate, and then we'll get them published on the website as well and get those in the pipeline. We didn't get massive support for the golf day, which is fine, but there are sort of certainly I think 8 of us, we may get to 12, and we're probably going to go to the Hertfordshire, which is north of London. I will sort that out over the next 2-3 weeks and get back to those interested. I think it will be a fun day and a good day to interact, get together, play a bit of golf, and then, you know, network a little bit afterwards and share some ideas. So I will get that done. Those of you who've emailed in about the golf, I will get something back to you in the next 2-3 weeks with a date and costs and plans for that. And then we also have, in the summer, we'll be arranging Lingers 2023. It is a bit of a closed shop because people tend to come back. We can only have a certain number in hospitality. But I'll arrange that, and if we've got any spaces, we'll let you know. But firstly, we'll be contacting those who've been every year and can't behave themselves. Those who do come, if you know you're definitely going to come, it is November the 18th this year, so you could go ahead and book your hotel. It's cheaper to do it yourself on the website than what they offer me, and then they try and whack some on top. And then finally for me, before we get into the season, in amongst that, I want to set up some coaching for those who are, you know, really serious and ready to really step up and take a step to doing it better. So I'll have some plans and thoughts on that, again, published through June, July. So that's really what we've got in the pipeline. You know, putting all that together behind the scenes now. So I would imagine by the time June comes around, we'll sort of start implementing bits of that. Certainly the pods and blogs will start, and we'll have the ultimate session set up. The live sessions are going anyway, so lots to come. And also, it is that time of year where I invite Ian's Den application. I've done this for the last couple of years, again, not being great with COVID and things, and organising stuff like that, but my time's better now on that, with people like Kerry and Dave and Alistair helping out. I've got 5 or 6 people now that I invest in, some good. Typical example, we're going to talk about variance in a minute. One guy did absolutely nothing and then is like a rocket launcher in recent months. Some standing still and a couple limping. It's something I do, something I quite enjoy doing, that if you want me to invest in your betting, you have a clear plan, method, structure, that you just feel needs a bit of money to escalate the profits, drop an email to support and I will take a look. There's no guarantees. I've got to get on with you. I've got to like what I see. I've got to understand it, I've got to trust it. It means you've got to divulge the method. I have had people say, well, I bet for them but don't want to tell me what the method is. No, I'm not an imbecile. I don't give the money, I bet them myself with my money and then pay the winners. And I need to run due diligence here. I'm doing you a favour, but there's some people who are very good and it is just money holding them back. So if you want an Ian's Den application, send them in. Again, Kerry, I'm making loads of work for Kerry. She'll be pleased because she doesn't know any of this. Speaking to her this afternoon. But if you want an Ian's Den application, send it in and I will take a look through the summer and get back to you. So lots going on, but heading, and we'll have a lot more order to it and it will benefit you guys. So that said, coming into this pod, over the last 2 or 3 pods, I've talked about variance, and I'm going to do a pod on variance, and that will become one of the topics, but I'm just going to cover some of it now, and then I can include it in that pod anyway. It's going to be one of the topics that we do a specific pod on variance, and actually understanding what it is, what it means. I still nail my full colours to the mast that data analysis, videos, trading styles, none of it really makes a jot of difference to people if they do not have a plan for what they're going to do, what they want to do, have achievable goals, realistic expectations, and accept that variance happens. And most people fail for me on those last 2 points. Whenever I get down to talking about people, talking with people in depth, it is expectations for where they are, particularly bank sizes and things, where they're at now. The expectations are often, you know, way misplaced, tend to always be about the money, rather than getting a process in place to small stakes that you can grow and just keep doing. And that's a, you know, that's a topic I want to really drill in and get covered, so you have no excuses. And variants will appear for everyone. It cannot be avoided. You know, I've got a lot of stick recently for my talk about people just posting green screens. And I did post green screens. I got stick for, you've posted them. Yeah, but yes, I did. I did it to try and motivate people. But I've kind of over the last two understood that me just posting a green screen doesn't help anybody, doesn't do anything, in my opinion. It's better ways for me to help people than just whacking up a green screen. And it's a kind of strange culture that people are obsessed with them and like to see them. And it's just an opinion. Everyone likes to pile in. It's just an opinion. I don't think that's my way of helping people, posting green screens. I don't think that's how I can help people. I think there's lots more I can do to help people move forward. But it doesn't matter because variants will appear, and that's the bit that we don't see when we just see green screens. And to be fair, there's people who do post green screens and talk about it, who also talk about the other side they're losing and their variants and post that, and that's got a bit more of an overround picture to it, and that's fine. But just seeing a green screen every now and then from somebody, I get people who post somebody posted one with 1,000 winner, brilliant, love to see stuff like that. That's an unusual against the norm one. Of course, it's good to post. I'd post that, it's great to see it. I don't think I've ever had 1,000 winner, ever. I've laid 101 shots, but I don't think I've ever had 1,000 winner. Great to see them, because that's not the norm. But it is variance that sees the majority of people give up, and I deal with it daily. We get emails, can I look at this system, can I look at that daily, and it usually falls down into people's expectation, lack of understanding about longest losing runs and what can happen at the odds, and strike rates, and then the bank setup, and you have to factor all in that and variance, and in 99.9% of cases they don't, and you then add in pressure that you're trying to do it to win money quickly or whatever, and you flounder about wondering why it doesn't go anywhere. And a good example, I've got an over 3.5 lay method I use. Set and forget, lay over 3.5 goals pre-match. It's a great bet, by the way, to have. It's the only outcome in all the main markets I think since 2017, there's something like 48,000 games. 30,000 plus of those have had a home favourite over 2.0. Laying over 3.5 goals when the home team is not odds on wins blind. It wins 100 odd points blind. Obviously, a load of games, but I would say these are good starting points. If it wins blind, you can play with it. And the method I've got, I've got two or three methods I operate over 3.5 goals, but one I share with a few people. It's rock solid, 85, 90 points up in the last year, roughly 7 points a month. And I share it with a few people. First 8 months, only one losing month, I think it was about 8 points. And then steady, and then from February this year, February it won 30 points. March it lost 5 points, and April it lost 24 points. So that was the first time two losing months on the spin. It hadn't seen anything like that in the preceding months or even in testing. It had losing months, but not like that. But it hadn't had any winning months like February, 30 points. So, and this month it's 14 points up. So from being something that was really genuinely 6-7 points a month, it's had a 7 point loser, and I think it had a 2 point loser, and then all of a sudden 30 point winner, 5 point loser, 24 point loser, 14 points up. It's been a little bit more roller coaster. Now when it was winning its 7-8 points, I never heard from anyone. Never heard anyone other than love these Ian, solid, great. And in February, wow, what a month, these are unbelievable. Just the odd occasional mark. But any ounce of common sense I knew in February when we were winning 30 points, this is overperforming. And when overperformance comes, only one thing is nailed on, and that is you will pay for it down the road. And we did the next month, and then obviously April. And then I hear, what's going on? Shall we stop? Shall we lower mistakes? Shall we do this? Have you changed the method? Oh, no, it's variance. And one of the... we're conditioned in every single aspect of our life. we don't like to admit it, but we are conditioned. We've got things going on that just conditions you to act in certain ways. It's how advertising works. It's a lot of conditioning, and we're very easy. For all our greatness that we can put people on the moon and send rockets to space and build amazing structures and things, we're actually very easy to manipulate. And fair play to people like Trump and that, and they've realised that and used those abilities. And you know, that's a lot of that now is how politics work, just manipulate people into a way of thought, and it becomes the way and off they go. And betting is no different. And one of the biggest things for me, which I've talked many times, is this conditioning of month to month to month and month timing. We're so conditioned to timelines that rather than just go, right, we've had 200 bets and that was a bad spell. Oh, look at that month. Because of monthly pay packets and do everything monthly, monthly bills, monthly direct debits, whatever it may be, people treat their betting the same. And if I could change one thing, it would be the removal of all that. People who see my graphs see that I don't put dates on them. I just have bet numbers. But what happens, obviously, if we take my 3.5 as an example, is I've shared them. They've had a few profitable months. I'm not aiming this at anybody. There'll be people who've got them listening. He's having a go at me. I'm genuinely not. I'm just saying this is over, collectively over that little small group who've got them. A few profitable months under your belt. You start to think you have the Holy Grail. You think you're invincible. Your expectations as a result then become unreasonable. Then when you get the losing spell, because you've raised those expectations into this way of thinking, it feels like the world's ending, and the emotional effect of that spell weighs too heavily to people, and they change it, panic, give up, and rinse and repeat. And all that is down to, all that down is covered in the word variance, and our mental sort of decisions that we make when we're betting, investing, I imagine in stock markets and cryptos and things like that. If you haven't got your sort of planned long-term journey, the reason you'll deviate will ultimately come from variance, will come from these bad decisions made, reacting to short-term ups and downs and not understanding them. Variance in statistics is just really a deviation of a set of numbers from a betting point of view. We have an EV, we have an expected value, we have an odds we're betting at, we have a strike rate, but that will vary over a piece of period of time. It will not happen all the same way. And when we talk about explaining things like EV and variance, quite often we will use, and I've used in the past myself, things like a coin toss, because we've got fixed odds there. We know what can happen. We've got 50-50, but it doesn't go heads, tails. You can have 8 heads in a row. You can have 25 tails in a row. And understanding that whatever's come before doesn't affect the next one. And just before I go on, that brings me on to another point. A while back, I tweeted, and it is a while back, I can't remember when, it's sort of one I'd logged in the back of my brain to cover. I tweeted in Segunda. I mean, firstly, I've got to complain. I've said that Segunda will average over 2 goals this season. I've said it all along. I'm kind of doing a Leicester. I think it's 1.98 now. I'm not sure it is going to get over 2, but I did say there's no way it will finish under 2. But it does look like it very tight at the top of that league, and it does look like it's going to be the first season that they've got less than 2 goals a game, unless there's a cracking finish. It has gone up from 1.96 to 1.98, so I'm not losing all hope, but we're going to need some big scores come the end. But I tweeted about a team called Oviedo, and they were playing at home, and I genuinely can't remember what it was, a while back, and I tweeted something like their last 8 games, they'd had 8 home games on the spin under 1.5 goals, which is very unusual. And I put something like Oviedo's 8 home games under 1.5 is today the day they go over 1.5. I can't remember the exact tweet. I haven't gone and found it. It's something like that. And then you get the old gambling mafia come out. You know, the We Are Better Than You mob who want to decry it. So what? Pointless tweet. Doesn't mean this game will go over 1.5. And I never said it did. Not any stage did I say it did. It would. But where the uneducated fall down, and we hear talk of gambler's fallacy all the time, and I've looked at two renowned betting sites this morning on the subject of gambler's fallacy prior to doing this podcast, and they talk about gambler's fallacy, and then they go on and talk about roulette and coin tossing. And I've used coin tossing myself all the time. It is a really simple thing to use as an example for people. Roulette, coin tossing, because it's fixed odds. Just because we've had 8 blacks doesn't mean we're not going to have a black next time out. But where, you know, we've got this white paper going through government, and one of the big things for me and other people, including these people, is we want to separate out casino gambling from sports betting. And I think it absolutely should. I think it's fundamental to any talk of online gambling that trying to compare what we do to somebody clicking a fruit machine or a roulette wheel or a blackjack hand every 30 seconds is completely and utterly ridiculous. And it all being lumped together is probably my biggest thing that we need to draw their attention to. But the same people who want to do that, you know, and I'm big on it, but when you come to sports betting, we're going to talk about gambler's fallacy. Yes, it doesn't mean that 1.5 goals. But one thing happens in sports betting, which is completely different to what happens when you toss a coin or a roulette wheel in regard to gambler's fallacy, if we like. The odds move. Simple as that. The odds move. So the odds on a coin toss never ever move. The odds on a roulette wheel never move. But the odds on Oviedo 1.5 goals had moved significantly. Significantly. The previous 8 matches as a will this game have 1.5 goals, yes, I'll take that argument. But if we take the average odds of those 8 matches, the first 1 and 2 games, the average odds were 1.68. By the time we got to this game, which was game 9, the average odds of game 9 and 10 became 1.97. So unlike roulette and the coin toss, when we get on runs of things not happening or happening, gamblers are gamblers. Gamblers set markets. What happens is those markets move to what is going on. So it's almost a reverse of the gambler's fallacy that the odds are going to get to a stage where you simply have to back it. You simply have to go, I'm backing that blind, whatever. If you've got some form of model that models goals and you hold it and you go, well, I've got to back that. And somebody had a year, but Oviedo, they've had 8 under. Of course, that streak could go on forevermore. It won't, but it could. You know, there's nothing to say, but, you know, we know that these things don't. But the odds that we're backing at mean that you have to get involved. And since that run of 8 games, so they had 8 games at home that didn't go over 1.5. 5 of the next 6 games at home did go over 1.5 at an average odds of 1.81. So the last 2 matches now have got back to a normal where Oviedo are 1.57 for over 1.5 and 1.67. Obviously, the variances odds can be dictated by the opponent. But there's opportunities like this to be found daily. The first 6 games of the season, over 1.5 goals at Oviedo, averaged 1.61. The last 6 games that they've played, it's averaged 1.81. It's a significant, it's not a small change, it's a significant shift. There was a game you got 2.12 for over 1.5 goals. That was my point of that tweet, rather sort of cryptically, and there'll be some people who've been through some of this stuff through me with some of the stuff I've done with people, that because the odds move, it isn't tossing a coin. Gambler's fallacy becomes irrelevant because it isn't tossing a coin. It's not a roulette wheel. Odds are shifting to a stage where you go, I've got to back that. I have to back that, particularly if you're going to trade and remove your goal. You're just getting tremendous value. But I'm getting off the sort of topic. But we've got to understand that. When we talk about variance, it's very easy to use a coin toss. That's where I really was, use a coin toss, because we can use that coin toss because it's fixed. And we can explain quite clearly that because we've had eight heads, it doesn't mean the next one's going to be tails. And that is all common sense and logic. But what we need to understand, our probabilities. We need to understand our odds that we're betting at. We need to understand our strike rates that we are betting at, and the EV that we've got over time, over bets, and then the standard deviation that we can make from that. And some of this, I understand, people means complicated. And when we cover this topic as an individual topic, we'll be able to look at this a lot clearer and put some graphs up on the page. But obviously, basically, the bottom line of short periods of luck or bad luck are essentially pointless to use as any metric to gauge whether you can be successful in sports betting or not. And unfortunately, that's how people operate. They'll operate in short spurts, win a bit. The minute it stops, they pack up. The minute it loses, they start packing up or changing it, when actually it is pointless. The good things, and one thing I know that I'm mentioning for ages, Dio goes on about, is number of bets sample. So the more bets we have, the more likely that we are going to run into the true variance, the more likely we're going to reach our expected EV, but we're going to understand the probability that things occur. So I've talked about even money. If you're betting at even money, 50% chance, you can expect over 500 to 1,000 bets to have a losing run of eight bets. As that number of bets go up, it becomes more certain that it will happen. It becomes absolutely almost nailed on that you will encounter eight losing bets at even money as you get up to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 bets. Once you get to things like, and you just move that probability down where you're betting at things that are 40%, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, they become absolute nailed on at some time to happen. So trying to bet, you know, have 10 losers at what are still relatively short odds is what people don't understand. You know, betting at, 40%, 5 to 2, betting at 2.5 on the exchange, 3.5 on the exchange, 5 to 2-ish. No, sorry, 6 to 4, 2.5 on the exchange, yeah. You're almost certainly going to run into losses of 10. So if I say to you, go and pick 10 football matches, 6 to 4 shots, you're going to pick a few winners, a few losers. But the more you do that, 5,000 bets, at some stage you are absolutely certain to have 10 losers on the spin. And that's what you've got to plan ahead. I said to somebody that I've had a few Zooms again this week, as much as I try and get away from them, and I said to somebody, I'm going to try and share more methods, and I've shared more bets, and I understand that some people will want to have those bets and not. But I was talking to somebody about serious. I said, if you have a bet now, today, that doesn't impact you in a year's time, then it's a pointless bet. So by that I mean, what you should be planning now and what you should be betting on should be something that you're kept looking to carry forward for a year, 2 years. I understand there's people who want to have fun bets and limited bets, and I've got no problem with that. And if you want to put 500 quid away and play around with that, but as an actual serious setup, if you're not going to have if you're going to have bets now, they should be bets that you're planning to have in a year time. They should be part of your plan. They should be part of there. And if you're having bets that aren't part of that, you know, that's one of the key things. I quoted that guy on the Telegram group live the other day that he's fighting himself not to have a bet. We are now going to come into a quiet time. You know, somebody's asked me, am I going to bet through the summer? Yeah, I will bet on Sweden, Norway. I've got some great stuff for those leagues. Maybe a little bit in Japan, again, laying over 3.5 mainly. MLS and box stuff, but I'm not going to be sitting up trading it. A little bit in Brazil. Don't tend to do Ireland much. So going to go from sort of 20, 30 leagues down to 6. So it's a quiet time, but I'll get up and, as I say, I'm going to use that time to make videos, do other stuff with people, where there'll be people getting up going, fuck me, I've got to find, Vietnam League 2, there's got to be, and that's what you end up with, and I just don't think you go anywhere doing that. But you've got to understand the variance and how it plays out, and accept it is absolutely unavoidable. That's the thing. It is unavoidable. And I know there's people like Peter Webb and Steve and that who trade pre-match and can control everything. And there, but if you are going to do any form of fixed odds betting or trading, you know, when you're trading for goals and this, that and the other, you are going to hit this variance. It is going to happen. It is impossible to avoid it. You cannot get around it. And I think one of the big things is if you move away from getting overconfident when you're winning to there, I think if you move away from this constant sort of need to be monthly and weekly and can break that cycle and you can keep a cool head then because you've set up properly when these losing runs come, it should be easier to accept. It is, I think if you go into it knowing it's going to happen, you know, get into that mindset, it is definitely going to happen and it's just a matter of when. And again, as I say, that one of the big parts of that is expectation. Have those expectations at the start, then you can get there, and that will be a massive barrier removed for people's success. And again, that's one of the reasons really why I did, and I'm not going to harp about Ian's Den, because there's some people who just haven't got that mentality. So it's easier for me to bet for them because I can do it and I've got that mentality and I can, it doesn't affect me and it is what it is. You know, I dread to think how many bets I've placed over the last 15, 16 years, millions. I genuinely wouldn't, I could go and look all that up, but talking certainly hundreds of thousands, and you just accept that losing spells, it just becomes something you do and losing spells come along. So when that was losing, that 3.5 for example, was losing 20, 30 points in April, of course I'm not happy about it. I think it got to minus 27 at one stage. Of course I'm not going, oh yeah, yippity-do, but I accept that's just what can happen. That's where we are. That's the odds we're betting at. That's what can happen. You know, and yes, I say you can get a losing run of eight. You get a losing run of eight, even money, a couple of winners and another losing run of eight. We don't know how they're going to fall. So in effect, you've lost 16 out of 18, 19 bets. And you think, well, this is ridiculous. But it can't stay like that. Like Oviedo cannot possibly finish 0-1, 1-0, 0-0 forevermore. And one of the big advantages is obviously odds move. So there we go. I hope I've made some form of sense there. As per normal, I may not have. I'm going to crack on. I'll publish the live session on for probably Sunday this week. I'll let you know. And I haven't had a good look at the weekend football now. Good luck to those of you who've got teams in the playoffs. Luton Town, Middlesbrough, whoever else is in, I can't remember who else made it. Coventry made it, didn't they? It was all a bit dramatic at the end. Can't remember who the fourth one was. Luton Town, Middlesbrough, Coventry. Commiserations to Wigan going down. I see my old mate get his knickers in a twist about the club's run. Pay your wages. Pay your bloody wages. What we got? Who we got? Championship. Who finished where? Luton, Middlesbrough, Coventry. Oh yeah, the old Mackhams got in, didn't they? Sunderland, oh, with the Millwall. Yes, Millwall. Absolute bottle job, didn't they? Millwall 3-1 up and absolutely bottled it. Finished 8th in the end. So good luck to supporters Luton, Simon Dennis, Middlesbrough, Coventry and Sunderland. Steve Elliott, Middlesbrough, Coventry, GH. Have we, I don't know whether we got a Sunderland, probably got one somewhere. League One, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley, Bolton. I said they're going to come up. Do you remember the pre-season preview? Bolton Wanderers, they're going to win that one. Wednesday, Barnsley, Bolton, Peterborough, my old mate in Wigan. That'll be a full meltdown then as they cross over, as the barge for Bolton sails up the league and the sinking ship of Wigan falls back down to League One. And League Two, Leighton Orient did well, brilliant. I always think of Justin Edinburgh there, Stockport, Carlisle, Bradford, obviously remembering the fire today, tragic that was, and Salford City. Salford, let's hope they don't, eh? Let's hope they get beaten. I love the fact that they keep straggling around. I fancied Mansfield to do well in that league. Just missed out again, but let's hope that, let's hope Bradford come up. Let's hope good old Bradford. On the anniversary of that fire, which was absolutely horrendous. Let's hope Bradford joined the boys in League One. Right, have a lovely Thursday. As I say, I'm putting this all in place, so it will be not radio silence, but quietish while we get all this. I want to do it properly. And I shouldn't say this really. I do say, if you like the podcast, please leave reviews, note it, similar on YouTube. I don't do any of this for that reason. I think the people who know me well know that. But I had no idea about this. Apparently, this podcast is in some poll as Gambler's favourite podcast. I've just seen somebody tweeted me about it or sent me a WhatsApp. If you like the pod, please do go and vote for it. I think it's SBC. Vote for it. Yeah, I don't know what it gets us, but yeah, it might just get more people listening. That's the main thing. So if you do like this pod, and I know they've been quiet over this year so far, only done 25, 30, but obviously circumstances, they will be upping in volume as we move forward. And if you do like it, yeah, give us a vote. I genuinely don't know what it means, and I didn't go seeking after it. No one's contacted me. I just got sent, oh, you're in line for this. So get your votes in. Go on, let's have it. Is there a way to mass vote? Perhaps if I don't win it, I can do the old Trump and allege I've won anyway. Right, okay. Have a lovely Thursday. All cheering on AZ Alkmaar tonight, aren't we? All cheering on AZ Alkmaar. Have a lovely Thursday, especially you guys in Holland. Right, have a lovely day, and I will be back with you. A live session sometime this weekend for those who come along, and a pod probably early next week.